www.freedomisradio.com. You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Expose here at 9 o'clock Central Time on Internet and Satellite. I'm Chris Gerner. It's the 25th of May, 2005. Situation continues to get very, very ominous and strange as we continue to slumber and play our games and have our good times and deal with our opinions, which that's a very conservative statement to make. In my opinion, according to Financial Times, the Pentagon is preparing a release of a report on the Chinese military that warns the U.S. and who's the Pentagon work for, that it should take more seriously the possibility that China might emerge as a strategic rival to the U.S., according to a senior government official, and I'm sure we know who that is. They'll never tell us. The report has generated controversy in the Bush administration because of earlier drafts that concerned National Security Council officials by painting what they saw as an overly antagonistic picture of China, according to two people with knowledge of the report. There were also concerns that the report could complicate U.S. efforts to work with China to encourage North Korea to return to the negotiating table over its nuclear program, and that's just ridiculous. In itself, absolutely ridiculous. Late Tuesday, a senior government official said the controversy did not concern content, but only its presentation. Oh, really? He said it was important to emphasize that the report presented a range of outcomes that could materialize along with China's economic growth. President Bush came to office in 2001 calling China a strategic competitor rather than a strategic partner. The term favored by the Clinton administration. But U.S.-China relations have improved markedly since 2001. Al-Qaeda attacks on the U.S. as China has operated in the U.S. war on terror. They've cooperated on the U.S. war on terror, they say. Two sources said the report would mention assassins' mace strategies in terms, a term employed during Clinton, China's warring states period that referred to secret weapons and strategies used to deceive and defeat enemies quickly, which the People's Liberation Army could be developing for use against Taiwan. The report is expected to emphasize known unknowns, I see, including the lack of U.S. knowledge about the actual size of the Chinese defense budget and its future military strategy. There could be a Chinese military in America right now at this very, very moment. They could have immigrated to this country. All they have to do is don the uniform. The uniforms could have been packaged in sea crate containers years ago. There could be a Chinese military in the U.S. today. Hard for some people to believe. The language is an attempt to emphasize that the U.S. should not accept face value China's estimates that it intends to emerge to a peaceful power. Once again, change glasses, Chris. I have this problem with needing two glasses, depending whether I'm looking at the computer screen or paper, printed paper. Once again, the language is an attempt to emphasize that the U.S. should not accept face value China's statements that intends to emerge as a peaceful power. One source defended the original report, saying the Pentagon was simply responding to congressional pressure. He said Duncan Hunter, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, and China Hawks on the Senate Armed Services Committee were concerned that previous reports had been too soft in assessing China's future strategies. In recent months, senior U.S. officials, including Donald Rumsfeld, the Defense Secretary, and Peter Goss, the Central Intelligence Agency Director, have voiced concerns about the rapidly expanding Chinese military. Well, duh! The administration has also criticized China's new anti-secession law, which compels the military to attack Taiwan if it appears to be moving towards independence. Well, we're dealing with this scenario being put upon us. It's a planned strategy. Who's behind the strategy? That's the question. But actually, at this late date, does it matter? It's the American people that need to voice their concerns about what's being directed at them and the totalitarianism that's coming into place. That is the problem. We have the UN system. The UN system is well entrenched. The UN system is being operated through the State Department, the U.S. mission to the United Nations. We are the global cop of the world. Most of us realize that are listening to this. Most that do know need to understand that they need to awaken others, because tomorrow's not always going to come the way they expect it to come. And that's the big problem. According to George Wallace, dated May 30th, 2005, America has the most technologically formidable military in history, yet the burdens of serving as global policemen have left our nation perilously undefended. George Wallace, a member of the National Council of the John Birch Society, is a retired U.S. Air Force lieutenant colonel and fighter pilot who saw action in the Vietnam conflict. For years, our national leaders and the media have told us that the United States is the last global superpower. Understandably, this has been a source of security and pride for many Americans. But in light of recent events, this claim deserves some scrutiny, not only as to whether we are a superpower, let alone the only one, but also as to whether we should be one. An important reality check should place in the morning of April 27th, when the White House frantically mobilized to deal with what appeared to be a repeat of 9/11 attacks. President Bush was hustled down to the Presidential Emergency Operations Center, a secure underground bunker. Vice President Cheney was spirited away to an undisclosed location. Batteries of anti-aircraft missiles were primed. Armed Secret Service agents were deployed around the White House grounds, and a Black Hawk helicopter was dispatched to confront the menace that had appeared on the radar. As it turned out, the menace that had prompted this frenzied activity was an unusually dense and fast-moving cloud system that had materialized 30 miles south of Washington. This incident offered foreign newspapers plenty of cause for mirth. One Indian paper gleefully described how the cloud had sent President Bush ducking for cover. A Scottish tabloid treated its readers to the headline, "Bush runs from a fluffy cloud." This isn't exactly the reaction we should expect from a top leadership echelon of the sole remaining superpower. After all, the president has at his command the most fearsome military arsenal the world has ever seen, as well as the world's most technologically sophisticated intelligence services. Washington is riddled with security barriers, patrolled by heavily armed security personnel, and guarded by elite military assets. There's no doubt that the government over which Mr. Bush presides is able, as one high-ranking military official told reporter Bob Woodward, to, quote, export death and destruction to the four corners of the earth in the defense of our great nation, end quote. Shortly after the White House scare came another sobering reality check, this one indicating that the policy of exporting death and destruction to the four corners of the earth has severely eroded our ability to defend our homeland. Yes, yes, yes. We live lives of deception today, situations that are being created for us. In the meantime, methodically, our industry is disappearing below the border and overseas on purpose. Our ability to support ourselves are disappearing. And we are stuck trying to survive on whatever we can survive on as a family and as a country. That is the sad commentary to have at this late date. I'm so sorry that this is the way it is. Regretfully so. Dennis has been doing more research. Dennis the Menace. I'm sorry, but I've never heard of the Open World Leadership Center. I apologize. I'm just so I'm just so amazed, and I'm so happy that others are doing research. Others are helping to contribute to waking up our country in the name of Dennis and Darren. I wish there were more of you out there. I wish there were more of us concerned about our country. I wish there were more of us realizing that what is Korea? What are our soldiers in Korea right now, but under United Nations command? Always have been under United Nations command in Korea. 54,000 were killed in Korea. 8,000 POWs never returned from Korea. And yet, the United Nations command is still in Korea today. How insane is this? Keep in mind, 13 years of implementation of Agenda 21 in every country of the world. The United Nations system, Secretary of the Treasury, U.S. Governor of the IMF, and World Bank. Alternate U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, Alan Greenspan of the Federal Reserve. The U.S. Secretary of Treasury receives no compensation from the United States, which is a federal corporation. Those are realities in place. And yet, from Open World Leadership Center, U.S. Ambassador Alexander Virchow meets with Open World alumni in Kamchatka. This is dated April 28th. Several Open World alumni helped celebrate the April 28th opening of the American Center at the Kamchatka Regional Research Library in the capital city of, holy man, Petrovsk Kamchatsky. Totally butchered, but that's what I say. The 31 American centers and corners in Russia are small. Once again, the 31 American centers and corners in Russia are small. American-style libraries that make information about America available in a variety of formats as a way of increasing U.S.-Russian understanding. What are we ultimately doing here, listeners? The eventual merger of this country with Russia. That hasn't stopped. April's opening of the Kamchatka Corner was a gala occasion attended by U.S. Ambassador Alexander Vershbow, First Vice Governor Alexander Kryskow, Mayor Valdestov Savistov, U.S. Consul General in Vladivostok, John Mark Pomersheim, the head of the Kamchatka Region Cultural Department, Alexander Rubov, and about 100 other government, civic, and cultural leaders, including alumni from other U.S. government exchange programs. That's what we have, an exchange program. We have educational exchange programs. We have a police exchange program. We have a military exchange program. Alexander Vershbow made remarks describing how the center can contribute to community development and help promote and strengthen U.S.-Russia ties. His words were echoed by the other speakers, who emphasized that the corner will help Americans and Russians understand each other better. I see. Kamchatka government officials also mentioned that their remarks, or in their remarks, that they would like to see Russian corners open in the United States, a sentiment repeated by the ambassador, who said that he would be supportive of Russian or even Kamchatkan corners opening in the States. Well, that fits right along with the Ford Foundation plans, listeners. After the official addresses, Library Director and Master of Ceremonies Bella Ivanova led everyone upstairs to the corner where the ambassador and other honored guests cut the red ribbon to open the facility. After a short tour of the center's director, Natalia Kalugina, the guests gathered in one of the library's large halls for a reception. Open World Embassy staff met with alumni during the event and introduced several of them to Ambassador Vershbow. He was able to hear firsthand about their positive experiences in the United States, their desire to maintain contacts with their Open World hosts, and their community development projects. Two NGO leaders, non-governmental organization leaders, who visited Alaska in the same 2004 Open World Environmental and Indigenous Peoples Exchange, Yula Velistov and the Association of Indigenous Peoples of North and Oskana Mosavia of the Kamchatka League of Independent Experts, related to the ambassador how impressed they were able to see young people volunteering for community projects. Ah, yes. There we have it going. Communizing America through the UN system. Both women reported that since their return from Patabaskok that they have focused more on involving youth in their environmental work. They're doing so by educating young people on environmental issues, encouraging their initiatives, and making sure their roles and assignments are as important and responsible as the adults. Absolutely amazing information. Open World Leadership Center. How amazing is this, listeners? I'm just at a loss. I'm just at a loss at how easy it is to document the directions things turn and the ignorance of the American people not to care. I subscribe to many magazines and periodicals. I pay attention to off-road vehicles. I pay attention to my former sport, my former enjoyment. I monitor the closure of land through these periodicals and magazines. And here we see from Four Wheeler magazine, most recently July 2005, the Bureau of Land Management has issued a draft plan to close more than 90,000 acres of off-road vehicle users in central Oregon, including a section called the Badlands that is subject to wilderness designation. The closure would prohibit all motorized vehicles on the last 10 miles of routes currently still open within the 32,000-acre Badlands. Another 40 miles of roads and trails are already closed. The off-highway vehicle ban is part of the Upper Deschutes Resource Management Plan, which will guide the long-term management of 400,000 acres of public land in central Oregon. See how the plan comes into place, the manipulation. The closing off of public land for public use is disappearing all over the place. We are losing our ability to use our land. Sad commentary to have. Here we see government agencies join forces in Colorado in an unprecedented move. The Bureau of Land Management, the BLM. Boy, I remember the BLM way back in 1970 when I started doing that off-road racing and riding and going through all that learning process of how to do it. I remember so much about the BLM, Bureau of Land Management. Bureau of Land Management. What are they all about? Managing the land. Keeping you off the land. Human beings are the evil beings, according to the UN system today. Anyway, in an unprecedented move, the Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service will work together to revise land management plans for the San Juan Mountains in southwestern Colorado. Management decisions for these 2.5 million acres of public land. Oh, man. Keep in mind, 1.8 million acres of national forest surrounded by 600,000 acres of BLM lands will be in effect for the next 10 to 15 years. The agencies will address several major issues, including off-road vehicle use, mineral rights, grazing, and timber harvesting. SEMA supporters dialogue between the government agencies, but endorses strong local involvement in the design-making process. SEMA is Special Equipment Manufacturers Association. They work together to promote products that are developed for off-road vehicles. And they have yearly functions. SEMA does. Once again, SEMA supports dialogue, and SEMA is a controlled group now. Supports dialogue between the government agencies, but endorses strong local involvement in the decision-making process. Since some of the trails used by off-road vehicles enthusiasts are not officially inventured, the government agencies should carefully consider the views of the local OHV community as they revise the travel management plans. The agencies want to issue a draft plan later this year and a final plan in 2006. Bill Clinton could more than likely be Secretary General of the United Nations. 2006. Wow. What a way to go. What a situation. So we see the Open World Leadership Center, designed to help merge this country with Russia. Quite amazing. I'm just amazed at what we see here. Open World Leadership Center announces its grant guidelines for the 2005 Russia Civic and Cultural Leaders Programs. Wow. Well, let's do this. We got jammed up here. According to Reuters, from the United Nations, where else? Get this, U.S. and NATO nuclear policies are immoral, dangerous, and destructive for the global nuclear nonproliferation regime. A former defense secretary from the Vietnam era, Robert McNamara, said on Tuesday. This is dated the 24th of May. McNamara, who spoke at a conference taking stock in the 1970 Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, was defense secretary in the 1960s under Presidents John F. Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson. He was the architect of early U.S. policy in the Vietnam War. He never told us it was part of CETO, Southeast Asia Treaty Organization. He never told us Vietnam was a U.N. operation. Quote, if I were to characterize U.S. and NATO nuclear policies in one sentence, I would say They are immoral, illegal, militarily unnecessary, very, very dangerous in terms of the risk of inadvertent or accidental launch, and destructive of the nonproliferation regime that has served us so well, end quote, he said. So what should we do? Disarm and give all the power to the United Nations system, Robert? McNamara said the month-long conference should strengthen the treaty and ensure that North Korea and Iran do not become nuclear powers. But he said, quote, I believe there is a high probability that the conference will fail to achieve those objectives, end quote. Every country should be armed to the teeth to protect them from other countries armed to the teeth. That's my opinion. That's my feeling. The only trouble is we have a global economy. We have a Federal Reserve System, which is a global bank. Offshoots of the World Bank and IMF. So most countries couldn't afford to arm themselves to protect themselves from the UN system. The UN system is America, engineered by the State Department and the Pentagon. Nobody cares. Nobody's concerned. And I'm very concerned. Always have been. McNamara said it was dangerous to believe that countries without the bomb and which face serious security risks would ignore the nuclear option while Washington continues to regard a large atomic arsenal as vital to its own defense. The conference, which ends Friday, bogged down in wrangling over the agenda and then the allocation of work among committees. While the disputes played out behind the scenes, nuclear activists and diplomats blamed the delay squarely on Iran and the United States. These diplomats have a lot of knowledge, I'm sure. The United States spent the first 2 weeks of the conference quietly seeking to block discussions of nuclear disarmament-related commitments and decisions reached at 1995 and 2000 NPT review conferences. Iran sought to block discussion of its nuclear enrichment program, which it insists is intended to produce fuel for nuclear power plants, while the United States, Britain, France, and Germany fear it may be intended for bombs. Let them build their bombs. As long as they don't use them, they need to defend themselves. The infiltration of Iran and their government, who knows who's behind that? Iran's probably very seriously allied with Russia. U.S. arms expert and former senior diplomat Thomas Graham, who helped negotiate every major arms control agreement during the last 30 years, said that with more than 40 countries capable of making atom bombs, it was vital to revive the NPT. Quote, in a word, with nuclear weapons so widespread, every conflict would run the risk of going nuclear, and it would be impossible to keep nuclear arms out of the hands of terrorist organizations, end quote, Graham said. I'm not sure what to say about this, except the fact that Robert McNamara was responsible for many a death in Vietnam, just like Donald Rumsfeld today. Robert McNamara, then Donald Rumsfeld, today. Absolutely amazing. In the meantime, EU doubles aid for world's poor. That's the European Union, claimed by Mikhail Gorbachev as being the new Soviet, the European Union. Any questions, any thoughts, any statements, 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773. We'll be right back.
opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
What do you know about the FTAA, the proposed free trade area of the Americas? Proponents tell us that the FTAA is merely about lowering trade barriers. They say it's a plan to create prosperity and enhance freedom throughout the Western Hemisphere, and that busy Americans don't need to be concerned about it. But they aren't telling us about the massive loans, bribes, and transfers of authority. They aren't telling us that their goal is to eliminate our independence by creating a new regional government. They aren't telling us that the FTAA is really part of a huge power grab. The proponents simply aren't proclaiming their true intentions. But you can learn what they are. Visit StopTheFTAA.org. Then tell Congress to reject any plan for the free trade area of the Americas. That's StopTheFTAA.org.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Trying to control my temper. I'm extremely mad and upset. I'm really close to just quitting completely. I am just so close to dropping this whole thing and writing it off. Lack of cooperation, arrogance, and conceit has brought me to this point where I'm tired of working with people because they don't work together. Dated May 25th, from The Guardian, European Union ministers last night surprised and delighted aid agencies around the world when they agreed a dramatic increase in help to countries in Africa and the rest of the developing world that will see the EU's richest states reach the United Nations' historic goal of giving 0.7% of national income in aid by 2015. I'm sure a lot of people over there are very happy to hear that, aren't they? As they become poorer and poorer, 0.7%, I'm sure, is an extreme, drastic shortcoming of what's really going on. The move, which came just 6 weeks ahead of the G8 Industrial Nations Summit in Glen Eagles, will mean a virtual doubling of the EU's combined aid by 2010. When the rich 15 all pass the 0.51% mark. The unexpected success in Brussels will intensify pressure on other rich countries, notably the United States, to increase their own efforts to, quote, make poverty history, end quote. It will also raise hopes that the pro-development partnership between Tony Blair and Gordon Brown will end on a high note, not with a damp squib, many critics have feared. That would allow Mr. Blair to resign, almost certainly in Mr. Brown's favor, with a popular element of his international career vindicated at a time when his dreams of European integration have, at best, stalled, with his interventionism in Iraq and elsewhere remains marred in controversy. This is absolutely insane. The Treasury said last night that if all 25 EU member states met yesterday's series of parallel pledges, and so some go beyond them, as they plan to do, EU collective aid to developing countries, including Africa, will rise from $40 billion this year to $80 billion in 2010. It prompted rare anonymity from aid agencies like Oxfam and Christian Aid, as well as the conservatives and liberal Democrats. They all praised that Troy spokesman Andrew Mitchell called, quote, a significant move in the right direction, end quote. Isn't it absolutely insane how a tsunami bomb was built in 1944? And there's no guesstimation that the tsunami that happened at the end of last year was set off? And yet, Bill Clinton is in charge of tsunami relief? The next Secretary General of the United Nations, Bill Clinton? Is this not insane? This article continues from The Guardian, but the deal's potential significance lies in its impact on other countries. Quote, it's really fantastic. It could have been better, but it's a very generous deal that lays down the gauntlet to the United States and Japan. We were desperate for such an injection of cash into the poker game they are all playing, end quotes, a spokesman for the Oxfam. The small print of yesterday's agreement saw the EU's 10 new members, mostly smaller and poorer, pledge themselves to meet a parallel target of 0.17% of gross national product in aid by 2010 and 0.33% by 2015. A major shift for countries which were recipients until recently. Insane. Utterly insane. In the meantime, Russians find common ground. Dated April 22, 2005, from Open World Leadership Center, out of Longmont. I'll be back. Listeners, if this doesn't reek of Agenda 21, I don't know what does. People are so dumbed down and don't pay attention and so ignorant. And I'm talking about people that should know better. Russia and the United States are half a world apart, but professional women in both countries share many of the same concerns: balancing work and home life, having equal opportunities as men, combating violence, fighting substance abuse. Five business and government leaders from Russia met Thursday morning with some of Boulder County's top legal and law enforcement officials at the Longmont Safety and Justice Center to discuss these and other topics. Local officials included Longmont Police Chief Mike Butler, Boulder District Court Chief Judge Roxanne Balin, Boulder County District Attorney Mary Keenan, and Longmont Police Detective D.V. Seuss. Seuss and Volunteer Coordinator Kay Armstrong also talked with the women in a separate session. Okay, let's take Charles in California. Welcome, Charles.
Hey, Chris.
How are you doing?
Nice show you have tonight.
Thank you.
Sounds like you're getting pretty fed up.
Yeah, I'm pretty fed up.
What's the feeling? Where's Hansa tonight?
Well, I didn't want to saturate the listeners with him because I wasn't sure whether I was doing too much of him.
Oh, he's great.
He was on 2 hours ago, you know.
Yeah, I wasn't able to listen in.
I see.
I was pretty heard on Alex Jones tonight. They were talking about, this morning, they were doing some joint maneuvers, the troops from El Salvador and all around the country were in Fredericksburg, Maryland, running around in fatigues.
Yeah, that probably makes sense.
And I heard they were in Texas, too.
I don't know whether I've seen any information on that or not, but maybe we can all find it for ourselves and verify it.
They're getting ready to take over here, I think.
Joint military operations have been going on for a long time, and the Second World War was a joint military operation, actually.
Yeah. I was just, the more I hear about what's going on, the more the people are asleep. I wonder how much longer we have till we're all saluting the hammer and sickle.
Well, that is the concern that I have, and certainly those that join the military really don't know what they're a part of, and that is my biggest concern.
And the strange thing is the border's wide open and they don't want to do anything about it at all.
And actually, they're not supposed to do anything about it, because under the UN directives and the executive order, 13107, Implementation of Human Rights Treaties, which includes the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which means anyone can change his nationality, anyone can move wherever they want. They have to just get by the red tape here, the little bit of red tape left. And certainly the Minuteman Project showed that the borders could be closed down as we close down borders in other parts of the world, but we leave our borders open. So obviously you see a big strategy in place to destroy this country and to bring it under the global umbrella, don't you see, too?
Yeah. What about these Minutemen guys? Do you think they have a clue, or they're just trying to last stand?
I don't think the Minuteman people know anything about Border Region 21, which was turned into Border 21, which through Darren's research is Border 2012 now. I don't think they know anything about that. I don't think they've spent any time studying NAFTA and GATT and the UN system. I don't think they understand it. No, I don't think they do. What do you think?
Well, I think that they may know about it, but I think they're not willing to give up. That's what I feel. I mean,
well, I can understand that.
Who wants to see all this stuff coming over here from South America and that, and they really have no right to be here. And our traitorous government just goes along with it instead of rounding up everybody and getting them out of here.
I think the individual states need to come together and realize that we have a federal government that doesn't care about the states, but as one state. And that is our key from the past that could bring us to the present.
What's in it for them anyhow?
What's in it for whom?
Our government.
Well, their paychecks and pensions is what's in it for them. These people are relying on their future to be paid by the federal government. And so in order to keep their jobs, they have to contribute to the UN system in whatever orders they're told to implement it. And this is why people like Joe Bannister, a true American hero, needs to be given a lot of credence and credit for what he does.
But what about the thought about maybe we don't want to be part of the UN?
Well, most of us don't want to be part of the UN. It's just that those that are getting their paychecks are required to implement UN directions.
And
most American people don't even want to hear about the UN, let alone talk about the UN.
Yeah.
And that's why the UN's never promoted on any kind of show, hardly at all. Any kind of major mainstream broadcast, you don't hear anything about the United Nations. And here are troops in the Middle East, in Iraq, and Afghanistan, under the guise of the coalition. Well, it's the UN system when you do the documenting on the websites.
Yeah, I know it is. I read that book. I've been reading a lot of books, but that one, None Dare Call It, Conspiracy by Gary Allen.
Right.
That's a good book.
Yeah, written a long time ago.
Yeah, but everything is real current in that book if you look at it. Whatever happened to Gary Allen?
He passed away.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I never heard a follow-up on it.
Yeah, I'm not sure how he died, but...
That's an excellent book for everybody to read. It really sums up a lot of the things that it's kind of gets buried through time, but...
I think there's a book out called None Dare Call It Conspiracy 20 years later, too.
Well, there's a treason book, None Dare Call It Treason. That's 20 years later.
Oh, okay, that's the one then.
That's the one by that other guy, John...
John Stormer?
Storm.
Okay.
That's an excellent book, too.
Yes.
I wish these, I post stuff on Stormfront and I tell people stuff, but it just doesn't seem like anybody's interested, you know?
Well...
They're more interested in this Michael Jackson or all this other diversion stuff. And
well, I understand that. Is
I put a link on my postings to your address, and also I put one to the anti-communist guy, analyst, too, because I think his site is excellent.
Yeah, Hansa does good work.
Yeah, I enjoy listening to him.
We're going to have him on next, he will be on next Wednesday at 7 o'clock Central again.
Okay, yeah, I look forward to hearing him. I think he's really got a lot of stuff to say. Now, this guy, Deagle, Bill Deagle, that you hear him on GCN a lot, he claims that you were talking about the Chinese.
Right.
I think I sent you an email about it. He claims that they have stockpiled of weapons in Kansas City in some warehouse. I don't know if it's true or not, but...
Listen, I don't doubt that that's not the case because of the secret containers coming into this country uninspected.
And don't they own the Long Beach terminal?
Yes, they lease it.
That to him, didn't he?
Yeah.
And also, aren't they in charge of the Panama Canal now, or no?
Oh yes.
Because I talked to somebody about that, and they said no, we're in charge of it.
Oh really?
Yeah.
No, Hutchinson Wimpaw has a 50-year lease on the Panama Canal.
Who does?
A company called Hutchinson Wimpaw.
Oh. Is that a shipping company?
It's part of China's industry somewhere. I'm not sure what connection they have to the People's Liberation Army, but I've been told that they are connected to them. And China Ocean Shipping Company, COSCO.
Yeah, I know they own that shipping. I think they're in charge of that one in Long Beach.
That's right. And see, they have many ports on the eastern and western coast of this country. COSCO does.
Yeah.
So when you mentioned a stockpile of Chinese weapons in a warehouse in Missouri, was it?
Kansas City,
Missouri.
Somewhere around there. That was what Deagle was saying. I don't know. You know, he's former military, or he was a doctor or something in the military. So he seems to have he seems to think we're ready to be attacked any minute. But I don't know.
I've always said that I don't see how they can attack when they're making so much money off it, but Hansa says money doesn't matter to them.
Yeah, I heard somebody else say that, too. They just want to blast us, basically.
I don't know how that fits into Rothschilds.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. How does that fit into the New World Order? Are they a part of it or what?
That's a good question. That's a good thought that we both had, obviously. And
it's just like the Mexicans. I don't know how they figure into it other than, as you said, creating a diversion so the UN will come in here. But they seem to think they're ready to take this place over.
I really think England wants to make this their personal park, and if they turn it into a battleground, it will be much less of a personal park. Plus the fact that the rewilding project will go down the drain, which is a big thing.
Now, and what about this France, and they're pulling out of the EU? Is that a done deal or no?
I don't know anything about that, but if they do pull out, that'd be a great thing. I think the European Union is a bad deal, and it's all about regionalization in the UN system is what the European Union is, in my thoughts.
I think I read in the Free Press that they're hanging on by a thread, but they think France is going to blow on the EU, and that's going to cause the Bilderbergs to crumble over there, supposedly, but that's what it said in the Free Press this week. Did you read that?
I have the newspaper here, but I haven't read it. I noticed that they're very, very busy.
They're hoping that France will stay in it, but I don't think France wants to be in there. I don't think any of those countries want to be in there.
Okay, I see here, May 16th, Bilderberg scared, European nationalism throwing wrench in plans. I guess that's what you're talking about.
Well, not that plus France. If I think in the next issue, which I already have.
May 23rd?
Yeah, they talk about France not wanting to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You, which would be nice, but of course they have their ways of changing their mind, I guess.
James P. Tucker was for part of the spotlight, and he was the only one that would uncover Bilderberg actions. And it's kind of amazing that he's the only one doing this. And you know, I have to congratulate him for uncovering the Bilderberg, because they've got to be the most powerful organization on the earth.
Yeah, he was on some show I was listening to the other day. I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was Rents or Alex Jones, but he was one of those shows he was talking on there.
Mm-hmm.
And he is one of the only ones that reports on it. Nobody else seems to think it's worthy.
Right. No one else thinks it's worthy. And
been doing it since 1960s, something.
If more did the right thing and exposed these directions, we'd have a better country.
Definitely.
Most unfortunate.
Well, there are a lot of people listening out there, so maybe we can wake them up more and more. I don't know.
Well,
my ways, but it, like I said, most people are interested in the diversion.
Well, it'll get to them eventually. They'll be concerned eventually as their paychecks and pensions aren't affected because they're not government employees, and yet they're not making enough money to support their family. Then they'll get active when it's too late.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of concerned when I heard Alex Jones's talk. Some guy called in and said they were doing joint maneuvers and they had their fatigues on, which a Marine called in, ex-Marine, and he said that you never were supposed to wear your fatigues out in the public unless you were actually at war with somebody. And so I don't know what that means, but there was some guys from, one guy was from Pakistan, one guy was from South America somewhere, and then there was another guy from some other European country, and they were all just walking around together.
Well, it's the UN system. It's it doesn't surprise
me. People
say
when we have checkpoints on the road.
Yeah, we'll have checkpoints eventually.
You think they'll go for it, the American people?
They'll have no choice because the ID is being put into place now. They won't be able to do a lot of things unless they cooperate in certain directions. There's a major road removal program going on right now for under the guise of the Rewilding Project to rewild America. They're removing roads.
How are they going to rewild all these homes they're building all over California? That's what
They'll just burn them down to the ground after everybody's made their money.
Yeah.
That's what the Global Fire Monitoring Center is all about. Burn them down. Once you're burned out of your home, what are you going to do but cooperate and go to a sustainable community to live?
How about a gulag? That's where I'll be probably going if I last that long.
And yeah.
I might be there too.
Anything's possible.
Yeah, I know. Well, anyways, I thought I'd chime in there and see how you're getting along. Hope you're doing okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Don't give up the ship there, pal.
Okay, I appreciate that, Charles.
All right, I'll hang up now.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. As we're dealing with this Russian-U.S. merger, and certainly this is from great information by Dennis, Open World Leadership Center, which I really hadn't been paying attention to. So they're dealing with Russian visitors to Boulder, Colorado area. The women were visiting as part of the One World program sponsored by the Library of Congress and operated by Rotary International. There's an insider group, Rotary International. This is according to Dick Richards, district chairman of the program. During the eight-day visit, which will end Saturday, the women watched legislative sessions at the state capitol, ate dinner with the Longmont City Council and mayor, and visited Celestial Seasonings and Rocky Mountain National Park, according to Richards. This one individual named Ivona Galena was impressed by the professional manager she met during her trip. She said through an interpreter after the morning's meetings, while two of the women spoke some English, a professional translated the discussions with the local officials. All the women and they met showed their desire to change the world for the better, according to one individual named Adamskaya. Quote, the women take responsibility equally and are not afraid to take responsibility for the work they are doing, end quote, she said through a translator. One of the first topics raised by the Russian visitors was sexual abuse of children. Ah, yes. Drug down the society, make them stupid, make them ignorant, and sexual abuse of children comes into play. They're dealing with many of those cases in Russia, they say, according to Galina. Adding that she was surprised the crime was so extensive in the United States, and keep in mind, vodka is the drug of choice in Russia. Vodka. Anyway, this information is accessible on the website, Open World Leadership Center, thanks to Dennis Hodges in Missouri. Fabulous information. Connecting dots is very, very easy when you have people to work with like Dennis and Darren. It is fabulous to be working with them. Until tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central Time, listen to other broadcasts, but pay attention. We'll be back at 3 p.m. Central Time on First Amendment Radio. Good night, and God bless you all.
Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways.